Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The countdown to the draft is nearly complete. We're less than 48 hours away. Let's do this thing. We bring in Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com. Rick, it's hard to believe that we're less than 48 hours away. I've started to click. I've got a bunch of bets in right now. I look forward to your last-minute opinions and takes on a very polarizing National Football League draft. Saratella, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Gabriel Morenci. Just happy to be here. 52 weeks of talking NFL draft with you. Big shout-out to all the affiliates, the listeners. It is draft week. Let's roll.
All right, so listen, last week, Rick, we were talking about how everybody seems to be falling in this draft. There doesn't seem to be a lot of positive hype about players. There seems to be more negative hype about players. And case in point, this is amazing to me. Last week, over 2.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round was living in the minus 400 to minus 450 range. I had to do a double take at Bet365 today a couple of times when I saw that they had over under 2.5 quarterbacks taken at minus 130. Right now, minus 130 to the over, that there'll be over 2.5 quarterbacks taken. I do believe that Jackson Dart is going to be a first-round pick. I do believe that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a first-round pick, despite the media criticism. We know that Cam Ward is going first, and hell, Jalen Milroe has a chance of being a first-round pick, in my opinion. How many quarterbacks, in your opinion, Rick, am I crazy to believe that this is a strong bet at minus 130? To go over 2.5 quarterbacks taken?
I mean, I've held steady that there's going to be four, Gabe. I've been laughed at on some shows, but so be it. It's a supply and demand type of league. You just rattled three. What about Jalen Milroe? What about Taylor Shuck? If you listen to the guys over there on NFL Films, they think he has the best film in this year's draft. So when you got teams like the Saints, the Browns, the Giants, the Steelers, then there's some wild card teams like the Rams. I mean, there's just too many teams looking to add a quarterback. I think it's at least three, maybe four.
And not to mention, there's always the outlier and a couple of surprises along the way. Nobody thought that the Atlanta Falcons were taking Michael Penix last year, Rick.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, right now, you're hearing so many things. My head is like Beetlejuice on the swivel right now, just spinning. And you talked about, like, no positive publicity. I mean, two guys I'm hearing now, like, we thought Genty was a lock for six. Now I'm hearing, like, he's a possibility at four. And if he gets past the Patriots at four, there's no way the Jaguars are bypassing them at five. So then all of a sudden the Raiders' whole situation is in flux.
I you know what? I'm buying into that. Remember, I brought this up to you a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, everyone's talking about Genty to the Raiders, and this is why we got to pull the trigger when we talk about these things, because the numbers get crazy, man. They move, like, literally every couple of hours right now. But you're right, Rick. The consensus is right now that he's probably going to be a top five pick and doesn't make it to the Raiders. You just brought up the Patriots. People have this Will Johnson locked in, right? That, oh, you know, I mean, or Campbell. Will Campbell. that Will Campbell, it's going to be Will Campbell, the offensive lineman out of LSU. Is it? You know what I mean? Is that some sort of stone cold lock? I don't really see it. And I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's 75-1. Tyler Warren is Rob Gronkowski 2.0. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Tyler Warren looks good on any team. He looks good on the Patriots. He looks good on the Jags. He looks good on the Jets. The Raiders have Bauer, so they're out of the mix there, in my opinion. But you know what I'm saying? What about the Patriots? What do you think? What do you think the Patriots do with the fourth pick?
Well, they can, I mean, they need everything except the quarterback, which is good for them. But, I mean, Tyler Warren, if you're just going best player available, to me, that's the pick all day long. They seem to want to fix that left tackle position. Vidarian Lowe is bringing a lot of issues there. So I understand why Will Campbell has kind of been the pick. Armand Membo has been talked about as well. Could they go Jalen Walker and shock everybody? Because Jalen Walker is a guy now catapulting up the board, as is, you know, we hated him. Now we like him again. Tet McMillan, you know, is in play. They say at four, at five. The Cowboy, like Tet McMillan now will not slide past the Cowboys. And I talked a little bit about this to you off the air. Like, if you can predict which teams are going to select a wide receiver in the first round, you're going to get plus money. And I have, like, the Broncos are a team I'm looking at, maybe the Rams.
What about Golden? What about Golden? 17.5 over under Matthew Golden out of Texas.
The people down in Dallas are convinced if McMillan is off the board at 12, the pick will be Matthew Golden to the Cowboys, which you can understand. You know, when you have that kind of speed, the allure, I mean, guys like that usually get pushed up the board. So I think he's going to be way under that number.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. All right, so as far as the Patriots are concerned, Will Campbell is up to minus 700 right now. Minus 700 to be the fourth pick. So to me, that's just crazy because I don't think it's stone cold lock. He's going to be the fourth pick. Ashton Jeanty is plus 700. Mike Vrabel did make a living with Derrick Henry as his running back. They're different style of running backs, but just throwing that out there right now. I get it. They do need to protect Drake May, but they might be thinking they can get some protection in the later rounds as well, right, Rick? Abdul Carter is 10-1. You just mentioned Jalen Walker. He's 10-1 right now to be the fourth pick in the draft. Membo is 12-1. Mason Graham 20-1. But Tyler Warren, bro, 75-1, Rick. Wow. 75-1. Bro, $10 pays, you know, $750.
Not bad. Yeah,
$20, you know, $20-$25 will pay someone's rent depending on where you live. You know what I mean? For a month.
Hey, I like the Tyler Warren pick. And even Jeanty at what you said, plus 700. Like, imagine Drake May and Ashton Jeanty in the same backfield. That's pretty damn good.
And, man, as we stated, this is why there's nothing set in stone. And you got some nice numbers out there, which leads us into the Jags. What about Tyler Warren to the Jags with the fifth pick? No one's talking about that either.
Yeah, you know, listen, Tyler Warren's number three on my board, so anywhere you want to put him, I'm going to be a big advocate of Tyler Warren.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know? He looks good on any team. As a Bills fan, I don't want him to end up on the Jets, but...
Yeah, and I think, you know, right now, and I did Jacksonville this morning, and they basically thought it would be between Mason Graham or Ashton Jeanty. They said Tet McMillan might be the dark horse. The other guy they mentioned was Walker. Walker keeps getting mentioned. You know, he's going to be the top eight pick, this Jalen Walker. And I think he could be the wild card. Like, who saw Jalen Walker sneaking into the top five? If it's not Mason Graham, then I could see a Jalen Walker. Obviously, they would love Jeanty. I don't think he's going to be there. And, you know, maybe there's a trade scenario where – you know, Jeanty becomes a commodity, and Chicago really wants Ashton Jeanty at 10. Would they be willing to move up at 5, you know, to leapfrog the Jaguars, and maybe one of these teams can move back, the Patriots? I don't know.
A bet that I made, Rick, was Hampton out of North Carolina, running back. Over under 19.5. So you're just talking about Jeanty and teams potentially moving up. You and I talked about this. A lot of people like Hampton as much as Jeanty, as crazy as that sounds, and think that, you know what, Hampton has all the tools to be a quality NFL back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got size. he is the complete package, and he looks good in a lot of uniforms as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twisted Tuesday continues. Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. We're breaking it down with the great Rick Saratella talking about the NFL draft. I'm going to talk fast because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to. So we were on the fifth pick. I wanted to get to the Raiders. The Raiders were next in line. I'm excited to talk about Will Johnson, talked about Will Campbell earlier. But as far as the Jags are concerned, Genty, and, you know, if Genty's still there, do they pull the trigger with Genty? You got Liam Cohen in there right now. But you and I talked about it. Tyler Warren looks good with everybody. But it seems you said you were on, you did some Jacksonville hits. It seems like the hype really is real, that they really do like Mason Graham.
Yeah, it seems like Graham is in pencil again, but as the leading candidate there for Jacksonville, you know, could they go Jalen Walker and then all of a sudden, where does Mason Graham slide? That's a possibility. And then Tet McMillan is a guy, like, I had McMillan mocked to the Jaguars for most of the calendar year, January, February, McMillan to the Jags just made a lot of sense.
He's the third pick, just for the record, Rick, as far as the sports book is concerned right now. Fifth overall pick, Ashton Genty plus 125, Mason Graham plus 175, Tet McMillan plus 450.
There you go. So
Jalen Walker is plus 700 for the record. And you're right, Walker's name is right there. He's like the third, fourth choice, like from the fourth pick on, pretty much. He's creeping up here right now. So the Raiders, everybody's had the Ashton Genty connection with the Raiders. But Pete Carroll might like another running back later in the draft, right? You know, I don't think they're going to take Hampton, obviously, with the sixth pick, which leads us, the Raiders have holes, but you've got to deal with Justin Herbert. You've got to deal with Patrick Mahomes. You've got to deal with Bo Nix and a Sean Payton offense right now. To me, getting a defensive back isn't a crazy prospect or position to take. And thinking of Pete Carroll, too, and his success, Rick, in Seattle, he was a big believer in the secondary. That was one of the strengths of their football team, right? You know, Will Johnson, I know that you're sort of mixed on Will just due to his injuries and the lack of, you know, he didn't see him play much last year. But we know he's, you know, after Hunter, he's the best defensive back on the board, and defensive backs are in a premium, Rick. I don't think it's crazy that Will Johnson goes to the Raiders with the sixth pick at plus 900.
Not crazy at all, because remember, it was Will Johnson, not Travis Hunter, who we were talking about as the Heisman candidate at the beginning of the regular season. He came in with a lot of hype, and he's got length. He didn't run the 40-yard dash with – it might bother some scouts, but let's go back to the COVID year. A lot of these guys didn't perform. A lot of these guys sat out. Jamar Chase comes to mind. So you talk about length, you talk about need, you talk about in that division. I could see Will Johnson. If for some reason Mason Graham is not the pick for Jacksonville, I mean, wouldn't they love to put him?
He's 9-1 too, Rick. Pretty nice number. Like, dude, at this number, we can take a couple of these guys. Jalen Walker's plus 650. Mason Graham is plus 900. Will Johnson is plus 900.
To me, the ideal scenario is you plug a Mason Graham next to Max Crosby and let it rip. Like, that's the ideal dream scenario for the Raiders.
Man, I'm getting fired up right now. I like these bets. Plus 900, Mason Graham. Plus 900, Will Johnson. Will Johnson was when I had both Michigan Wolverines, for the record. Mason Graham and Will Johnson. And then Jalen Walker, you know, wouldn't shock me. I think he's going to go defense. Personally, I think he'll go defense in the first round if Genty's not there. And I'm not, even if Genty is there, I think Carroll might think, you know what, these guys are stars. We'll get a running back a little bit later on, which leads us to the New York Jets. Quickly, Rick, what did you think of the Aaron Rodgers? Boy, I flew to New York on my own dime only to have Aaron Glenn tell me that he didn't want me as the quarterback about 20 seconds in to the conversation. The Jets said that it didn't go down exactly the way that Aaron Rodgers said it went down. But to me, this is the exact reason why you don't want Aaron Rodgers on your football team. It's just way too much drama, man.
Well, there's three sides to every story. I think it's better left if you don't cry over spilled milk and you just move on. Nobody really cares. They just want to know if you're going to play or not. And, you know, the thing that bothered me the most is he kept, you know, if you don't want to talk about what it is in your personal life, well, don't tell us it's something in your personal life that's withholding. Like, you know, just go handle your business and let us know when you're ready and come out of your dark hole when you're ready to make an announcement. Okay. Otherwise, we don't care. Okay.
Also, there was a little bit of irony, too, and I agree with you, but I like the irony of him complaining about leaks and, you know, everything that's said in New York gets out. And then he goes on the McAfee show and says everything that happened in a meeting. But I digress. So as far as the Jets are concerned, Membaugh seems to be the guy here, plus 150, according to a lot of people. Dude, I don't. So let's get to Tyler Warren. I play Tyler Warren, Rick, under 9.5. Plus 175, bro. I'm getting plus money at under 9.5. You've been telling me all year he's one of the top players and most talented players actually on the big board for real. I agree with you, Rick. I don't think that NFL GMs are going to let him get to 10. I think one of them is going to go, we got to take this guy. Like I said, I think the Patriots will have to think about it. The Jags will have to think about it. Let's say they don't. The Raiders already have a stud in Bowers, right? And they just got rid of mine. They're not going to go tight end here. But, God, if you're the Jets, you have a hard time. I love them with Bryce Young in Carolina, right? And the Saints got a quarterback issue to deal with. So what about Warren, top 10? Do you think he can go to the Jets? He's plus 300 to go to the Jets.
That would be my pick. Obviously, I'm a Tyler Warren fan. The public perception is it's Armand Membo, which I don't get because it's just – They don't even compare on my board. Membu's a finesse. He goes to the second level. He's like allergic of contact. I mean, he could really pummel guys, and he chooses not to. Where Tyler Warren's an animal. This guy's a stud. He's a difference maker. But, you know, the Jets want to solidify that offensive line, so all signs point to Membo. I just don't know how you pop on the film and you bypass a Tyler Warren. It just makes too much sense.
The Carolina Panthers, they have a ton of needs. So whatever they do, right, like, you can't argue it. Like, whatever, like, you know what I mean? Whatever the position, it's like, ah, okay. Like, it's basically like an empty kitchen, right? Whatever they come back with is a start. They need, you know, their offense showed signs, right? Even though, you know, they don't really have anybody. But their defense was freaking terrible, right? Like, they really gave up far too many points, Rick. Listen, I think Will Johnson, I don't want to go stick on Will Johnson all the time, but they could use a defensive back to throw with Horn there. That wouldn't be crazy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Down to the National Football League draft continues. Man, time flies when we do this thing with Rick Serratella. We just got a couple of minutes left. All right, so the Saints, Rick, ninth pick. Actually, you know what? We were out of time there. Panthers. Let's wrap up the Panthers. What's your prediction going to be for the Panthers?
I think Jalen Walker. I think it's safe to say they need an edge rusher. He should be on the board. He's moving up fast, but I think this is where he ultimately lands.
All right, so the New Orleans Saints, another team similar to the Panthers, and you could argue, actually, which is pretty crazy to say, the Saints have as many holes as the Panthers do, actually, right? I mean, the Saints, you know, the cupboard is pretty bare, right? So they could really use any position, but you have Kellen Moore coming in here. New coaches like to get their own quarterbacks. Carr's a disaster, and not to mention Carr is injured right now. What do you think the Saints are going to do? Are they going to take Shedeur Sanders if he's there? And we skipped over the Giants. I'm saving the best for last. So it's sort of a combo here, I guess, with the Giants.
Yeah.
Are you maintaining the Giants take Shedeur Sanders? And if not, will it be the New Orleans Saints?
No, you know, my heart wants to say Shedeur will go to the Giants, but, you know, I've read too much stuff that, you know, I saw Joe Shane. He couldn't hold back his grin when talking about Abdul Carter. So I guess Carter is my pick at three. The Saints, you know, ironically enough, Gabe, it's like Jackson Dart, even if Sanders is on the board, to me, Dart fits the offense better in terms of the style and the scheme and the fit for Kellen Moore. I actually think Jackson Dart would be the pick over Shedeur Sanders if they had their choice. And you're right, you know, new quarterback – how do you go to battle with just Spencer Rattler on the roster? You didn't handpick him. You don't know the status of Carr. I mean, all signs would think I have Jackson Dart going here. And if they don't, well, then they're in a situation where now they might be scrambling to trade back up in the back end of the first round if they don't get one.
No love for Jake Haener, my boy, Fresno State.
Oh, yeah, Haener's on the squad. Yeah,
I don't know. Is he starting to? Yeah, I think he is. But, just kidding. I did like him in college, though. You know what? I've heard the same thing. And we were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. I actually know people in the New Orleans media, and New Orleans is a smaller sort of community, right? Like the Saints are, it's a little different to some. It's not like the Giants where nobody really knows anything. Guys in New Orleans kind of know, and it's kind of no secret. Look, Schefter said it the other day, and Schefter doesn't put his name on everything, right? He said that Kellen Moore likes Jackson Dart better than Shedeur Sanders. And I don't, not to be personal about it either, but I just sort of agree with you, and I like Shedeur. But as far as the offense is concerned and what they ran in Philadelphia and what we've seen from Kellen Moore in the past, Jackson Dart is kind of a better Kellen Moore was as a quarterback. They're kind of similar. You know what I mean? Like, I can see Kellen Moore looking at Jackson Dart and seeing a lot of himself when he was a kid in him.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, you got to have that RPO capability to extend plays. And I will say, like, now – where we thought a couple months ago he would be a favorite to be in the top 10, he's almost a dark horse, but we mentioned it. Like, if you can predict where the wide receivers land, I mean, I would put Tet McMillan as a dark horse candidate at the Saints here. I don't know what his odds are, but there's a possibility.
So Shedeur to Pittsburgh then?
I think if Sanders starts sliding, I think there's a team like the Browns, I think, would come back and try to trade back into round one. The Giants would probably try to come back in and trade and leapfrog the Steelers, right? I don't know. Like, I can't believe Shedeur Sanders would slide all the way to 21. But then again, we've seen it happen with Aaron Rodgers.
The negativity about Shedeur really is over the top. And case in point, yesterday, Rick, I was watching. And I like Dan Orlovsky, but Dan Orlovsky, he's in love with Jackson Dart. And we only got about a minute left, so I go fast here. He's in love with Jackson Dart. So he basically showed a couple of simple throws that Jackson Dart made. Right? Oh, look at this out pattern that he threw, and look at this. And guys were wide open and whatever, Rick. Like, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, it was standard pass, like you would say. It was basically like in shorts, a T-shirt and short type play. Mm-hmm. Right? Then he goes, this is what I don't like about Shedeur. He shows a play with Shedeur where nobody is open. And he says Shedeur should have taken off here, but he got sacked instead because he's not athletic enough. And I'm thinking, all you ever hear about young quarterbacks is, oh, they got to stay in the pocket more and not take off right away. And Orlovsky doesn't bring up, too, that he played on a crappy team, Rick Shedeur, and he had to make plays. So he's staying in the pocket hoping he can make a play deep, bro. Like, they're really, really wrong about Shedeur and, like, the criticisms with
they
this
really
kid.
Are.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they act like, what, he didn't throw for, like, nearly 5,000 yards on a crap-ass team with a terrible offensive line? People are insane. We got to get out of here.
Narrative. I know we don't have a lot of time, but what bothers me even more is, like...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues, as does the countdown to the National Football League draft. We've got a couple of games going on right now. And crazily enough, both Minnesota teams are in action at the same time. Good night for sports bars in Minnesota and drunks that want to stay out late and stuff because these games are going to be on all night. So you got a late, you know, where the second half has just started. And T-Wolves got punched in the mouth early. Give credit to the Lakers. Lakers came out swinging. Remember I said I wouldn't discount the T-Wolves. I think they could chip away and get back in this basketball game. We're getting 6 points with them. Currently, right now, it's 60-45, 10:19 left in the third quarter. Right now, 60-46. The total is 206.5 in this game. Total close 211. Minnesota Wild just took a 1-0 lead on the Vegas Golden Knights. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're getting 12.5 points right now in this game. I would say jump in. I'm already on the T-Wolves plus the points, but I think the T-Wolves are going to get back in this game. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. TSN, play-by-play voice, CEBL, former college football player, does it all. Mo Khan, statistician as well. What's up, Mo? How you doing tonight?
And also now Gabe, sideline reporter for the new women's
and sideline reporter.
Yeah, so. Jack of all trades.
The attendance. Did you do a game yet? Was there a game in Montreal yet?
No, I'll be doing the three national home games for Montreal in June, July, and August. But I'll be there for the home opener against Ottawa next weekend, though. They're in Vancouver this week, I believe, on Sunday afternoon.
They got a good crowd. They got like 14,000 people in Vancouver last week for the first match, the inaugural match of the season, which is pretty good. And I don't know what they got in Toronto, but I saw it on TV, and it looked like it was same thing. Pretty nice crowd, actually. That's pretty good. Pretty good crowds. All right, so 60 to 46. Lakers looking good. What do you think, Mo, of this basketball game? I think the T-Wolves are going to chip away. They're not going to quit like some of these teams, the bad teams. So, maybe in the fourth quarter they'll eventually roll over. But I'm not sure the Lakers are going to keep this up for the entire four quarters here. What's your take on this game?
Well, look, T-Wolves game one got hot through the three-point shot, right? They were able to attack the rim and get the three-point shot open up for them to kill off the Lakers game one. I think game two, what they're going to have to hope is try to get the Lakers to be on their heels a little bit more than before and see if there's some quality shots to be had, because in that first half, they were down 15, and now going towards the second half, can they get this down to single digits? If they get this inside 10 points going towards the fourth quarter, flip a coin at that point here, and I think the T-Wolves can definitely meet all the expectations out there when it comes to the point spread and the total points at that point.
I watch every Laker game. And one thing with the Lakers, with Luka, a good point, though, they got to hit their threes, and they just missed one, the T-Wolves. But one thing with Luka and LeBron, guys, you'll notice, I've talked about it a lot from a betting perspective about how I get suckered into in-game overs with Laker games because there's this quick pace early. They slow down. Luka's not in the best of shape. He gets defensive about it, but it's true. As I say this, he's keeled over right now. he's got both hands on his knees and he's leaned over. Literally, as I said that. Luka slows down. The pace slows down. LeBron slows down as the game goes on as well. So that's what I'm saying. The T-Wolves, they just sort of stay the course here, but they're sloppy on offense. They turn the ball over in the paint right now. They've been sloppy on offense, and the in-game totals fallen all the way to 198.5 right now. All right, so we just talked NFL draft with Rick Saratella, and now it's the calm before the storm, and it's getting real right now. There's a lot of movement with the odds. Nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen. They think they do, but they really don't right now. But there's a lot of chaos in the betting markets. And let's start off with Mo Khan's Las Vegas Raiders, who people were convinced that Ashton Jeanty was going to go to the Raiders, or that would be the high point. That would be the peak where Jeanty would, and it was debatable whether you should take a running back that high and all that. I started to buy in, but I've never been fully convinced, actually, the Raiders were going to take Jeenty. But now, Mo and Cam, but I'll throw it to you here, Mo, the betting markets, they believe that Jeenty is going to the Jags right now. The Jags have become the favorites to draft Jeenty, which I said 2 weeks ago I think could happen, and it was like plus 300. Now it's plus 100. What do you think is going to happen with Jeenty? Do you think he's going to go? Do you think, A, there could be a shock and he goes to the Patriots fourth? Does he go to the Jags fifth? And then what do you think the Raiders are going to do with the sixth pick?
Well, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. I said that you had asked me, does Jeenty go in the top six? I said the Patriots or Jags could be in play, because you look at Mike Vrabel, when he became Tennessee head coach, what did he do? He ran the football with Derrick Henry, right? That's his MO, is strong defense and just run the football. And Drake May needs playmakers, and Ashton brings that to you. Look at Jacksonville under Liam Cohen. He needs playmakers, right? I know they have Etienne and others in that backfield, but they don't bring that dynamism that Jeenty brings on the football field. So I think that there is a high probability that you can see Ashton Jeenty go four or five. And for the Raiders, if they're not left with that running back, it's a deep class. So they can go in the second round. But you look at Mason Graham, the D tackle from your Michigan Wolverines. You look at Armine Membu from Missouri University, the tackle as well. Those are two key guys that could probably very well go in the top six, top seven of this draft here. So no matter how you have to look at it, if you're a Raider fan, you want to come away with the best player available at your position, whether it's Jenty, Membu, or Mason Graham, who are all three excellent players at that position of six.
The Raiders have a lot of holes, so they could go in a lot of different directions. They could go cornerback as well. I think they're probably going to end up going defense if Ashton Jenty isn't there. Yet, you know, that's what makes this unpredictable right now. The Raiders, you know, there's a few teams, like we assume there's a few teams going to do with certain things, but, you know, so the number six pick right now, Jenty is plus 125. The Membau's plus 275. Mason Graham is plus 600. Jalen Walker is plus 650. Will Johnson, who I think is not a crazy bet at 9-1, plus 900. For the Raiders. Pete Carroll likes defensive backs as well. I think Pete Carroll goes defense here, guys, with the Raiders. So put what's your pick going to be here? Mo Membau for the offensive line so they don't get Geno Smith killed. Mason Graham, who's, if he's on the board, will be hard to pass up with the sixth pick. Or Jalen Walker, who's climbing the board right now.
I think it's going to be Mason Graham. They need to get a pass rush. Remember, they got exposed last year with Wilkins going down. They had no pass rush beyond Max Crosby, beg your pardon, who got hurt late in the season. And you look at that division, Gabe, right? You have
what happened Herbert, to that kid with foot problem from Texas Tech? Kyrie that Wilson, hasn't worked out.
They might offload him, right? But you look at that division alone. Herbert, Knicks, and Mahomes, they had nothing else going for them but their D-line. If they get a guy like Mason Graham to be a terror inside the pocket presence of a pass rusher, That is a gold mine to have that type of position of dominance, to have interior pass rush coming in and getting those quarterbacks off their access points. I think Mason Graham would be the ideal pick. But again, this is the Raiders, right? So, you know, unpredictability is normal for them in their headquarters, no matter who is picking the players, whether it's the late Al Davis or now under the new spy tech Tom Brady regime.
Yeah, and as you said that, talking about Mason Graham, I was thinking, you know what? You got a Michigan Wolverine connection here as well. You know, Tom Brady, you know, knows Mason Graham and what he can bring to the table. I wouldn't dislike the pick for them. All right, you know, this one is like it's crazy. Some of the movement with the odds right now. Last week, over under quarterbacks taken in the first round was 2.5, but it was like minus 400 to the over. It's plummeted to looking right now over under 2.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round, minus 110. Like I've had to do a double and triple take just to see am I reading this properly. It's because of the anti-Shador Sanders push right now. Over under 2.5 quarterbacks to me is light, guys. I'm going to play the over. We'll hit this some more on the other side, but we know Cam Ward is getting drafted. Jackson Dart is going to get drafted in the first round. And don't kid yourself, Shador Sanders, I believe, will be a first-round pick as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. So as we were saying, it's pretty crazy. Over under 2.5 quarterbacks taken is down to minus 110 right now. And there's a lot of Jackson Dart love and hype. I do believe he's going to – I got Jackson Dart to be taken under 23.5. I don't think Dart could go to the Saints ninth. He could go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's always a surprise team that could trade up, move around, or you know what I mean? The Cleveland Browns have a million picks. There's teams that could do things. The New York Giants could potentially take Abdul Carter and then, you know, grab one of the young quarterbacks late. Or they could think, you know what, we'll get Milroe in the second round. Supposedly Dable likes Milroe, actually. Dable doesn't really seem to like anybody. But I got to go over 2.5 here. But as far as Jackson, as far as the New Orleans Saints, Mo, yes or no, do you think they're going to take a quarterback? Do you think they'll take Shador Sanders or Jackson Dart with the ninth pick?
I'm going to say yes, they will take a quarterback. They have to get someone in there. They have to revitalize this franchise and get the hopes up. Remember, this is a team right now that's in a morbid situation. Over the cap right now, Derek Carr likely not to play this year. So what do they have going for them? But you have Kellen Moore, who's a quarterback whisperer. Think about what he's done for Dak and for Jalen Hurts. You bring in a quarterback now with not much to work with. He can grow this team organically to bring in a Shador Sanders or maybe a Jackson Dart at number nine here and kind of get this team going. And look, playmaker-wise, they have some pieces to work with in New Orleans, so I think they do take a quarterback at number nine.
They don't have too many pieces. There's some, it's like a Monopoly board with some missing pieces. There's a couple of, but you're right. They got a bit of talent, but I do believe in Kellen Moore. And one thing too, I think if you're a young quarterback, you're being thrown into a horrible situation with the Saints. But I think Kellen Moore gets this, and like he wouldn't get a young QB killed. I think he would know how to sort of work him into this. And as we were talking with Rick Saratella, everybody believes, and I like Shador Sanders, but Jackson Dart fits what Kellen Moore wants to do. You talked about Dak Prescott. You talked about Jalen Hurts. Dart has the wild just scored again. But Jackson Dart, I was seeing comparison to his body type, his size, the Jalen Hurts stuff. He's not quite as big. Dak is a big dude, so it's going to be hard to be bigger than Dak Prescott. But Jackson Dart has some size. He has some mobility. Shador's a pocket passer, West Coast offense sort of pocket passer type. But I don't think Shador guys would get past the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21 if he's still there. So I believe those will be the three. And Milroe, Cam, Milroe could backdoor the first round. I think teams will sit on Milroe, and Milroe will go early in the second round, my opinion. Well, he's plus 130 to be a first-round pick, but I don't think Milroe will be a first-round pick.
Well, the bottom with that is you're going to need more value. But you said it was 2.5 with basically pick'em juice. And he still could go to the Giants if they do something and go, we're going to take this guy at the end, and that's four quarterbacks. But I feel very comfortable with three. Dart, Sanders, Ward. Those guys are, I got to believe, nothing's a lock, but go in the first round there, and then you have the Milroe effect if the Giants decide to take a chance with them with a late pick in the first round. So I love that bet, Gabe. I think that's a fantastic bet.
The big thing, Mo, is Tyler Warren. The topic of conversation, will he last to the Bears? People, like this whole thing with these mock drafts, and people just sort of take it for gospel because they read it so many times over and over, or they hear it, that the Chicago Bears and Indianapolis Colts are both taking tight ends, right? Like, it's almost a foregone conclusion that the Colts will be taking a tight end. I'm not so sure about that. Like, from a betting perspective, I got to admit I'm going to lose some of the bets, but we're getting plus money. And I like Colston Loveland. Being a Michigan fan, I know him well. But he's 17.5. And, you know, I don't think it's – let's say the Colts don't go tight end. Suddenly, to me, Loveland's going to fall to the – he could fall to the Denver Broncos. But Tyler Warren, do you think he goes in the top nine, Mo? Will he be gone before the Chicago Bears pick him, potentially with the 10th pick?
I say no. And remember, Jeff fans, and you guys know this very well, 30 years ago this week, had nightmares when they took Kyle Brady from Penn State over Warren Sapp, right? And that gave Jet fans nightmares forever. I'm not saying that Warren is Kyle Brady, but
oh, come on, man. Are you going to give us Christian Hackenberg shout-outs now? You're going back
with that. Yes.
And Tyler Warren ain't the Brady kid, Mo. Come on. No, I like the reference, but...
No, but Tyler Warren has the tools that the Bears desire from that position, right? Like, you look at Sam LaPorta and what Ben Johnson did for his career. He sees the exact same DNA in Tyler Warren to be that guy for them. And if I'm the Bears, remember, they're the only team that has an extra second-round pick in this year's draft, right? So they could maybe move up a couple picks here to secure themselves with Tyler Warren. And remember, guys, we've not seen any trades yet in this draft. Like, we usually see trades 3, 4, 5 weeks out. And I would imagine that we could see maybe one or two trades from the top 10 of teams trying to get into the top 6, top 7 to get maybe a Warren or someone else in that range.
No, there's definitely has to be some sort of chaos. You got to believe it. There's going to be a few moves. I don't understand the James Pierce stuff. James Pierce right now is just basically minus 110. Will he be a first-round pick is plus 100 right now. Jackson Dart is sitting at 24.5. And, guys, you can get plus 150 under Jackson Dart. Plus 150 under 24.5. But I don't – you know what I think, too? Ever since – And like I said, these odds makers don't know anything, guys. They're like, you're not betting against a supercomputer like you are when you're betting an NBA game in-game total. The fact is, guys, ever since that it was announced that Jackson Dart isn't going to the NFL draft, people think they just assume he's not being taken in the first round. I don't know. I don't think he was invited. So, but no, Jalen Milroe was. Yeah, but Jalen Milroe was invited.
That's right. Yeah.
So, whatever. And I don't think there's too many people out there to believe that Jalen Milroe is going before Jackson Dart. So, you know what I mean? I think people are overreacting to this. Oh, he's not going. He's not going to be at the draft. You think a team gives a crap whether the kid got invited to the draft or not, whether they're going to draft him? Right? So, I think that's a little bit overplayed. McMillan, Mo, he's a polarizing player. The kid out of Arizona, the wide receiver. Everybody's polarizing here. They're picking on everybody here. And then you got Matthew Golden, who he's the one player that's supposed, you know, that people have been pretty positive about. Like, everybody seems to be getting smeared. Golden stock has kind of risen. Luther Burden III has been buried. But we'll get into Golden on the other side, over under 17.5. I'm not so sure he lasts 8.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. Mason Graham right now. Mason Graham over 5.5 is -225. Under 5.5 is +175. The Patriots are the key because everyone's convinced they're going to take Will Campbell, but I'm not. I don't think that he should be that big of a favorite. Omarion Hampton. Some people like him a lot. Like, you know, they think this guy is going to be a star. Like, Genty's great and all that, but they think that Hampton could be a star. I've said the Cowboys for a few players, but it wouldn't shock me if Hampton went to the Cowboys. Personally, I think a team, guys, that would be a good fit for Hampton would be the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, they don't have that sort of, you know, star back. You got to help Kyler Murray. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. here. You know, you really want to get a little triplets thing. Hampton can really help you out of the backfield. I like James Conner, the Terminator and stuff, but, you know, at some point I think they got to say, you know what, Hampton's an explosive player that could really help us. I think Denver could take him, but that doesn't help me because I need it under 19 and a half. All right, so before we get Mo out of here, Mo, your prediction for tomorrow, Montreal Canadiens and the Washington Capitals, and I imagine the city is pretty excited for Friday night.
Yeah, look. Tomorrow, anxious times here. Can they get a little more grittier? They got beat up game one last night. I think it'll be close, but the Caps come to Montreal up 2-0. But I think it will go back to D.C. with Montreal down 3-1, if not 2-2. I think the Habs fans are hungry. They're eager. Remember, this will be the first proper playoff home game in almost 8 years in Montreal, guys. So it's been a long time coming for Habs fans to enjoy a proper sellout game at Bell Center, but I think they'll be down 0-2 coming back for games 3, and then we'll see what happens in game 4 afterwards.
Tickets are going for $500 just to get into the building for Friday night. It's not going to be a cheap ticket.
A lot higher now. A lot higher now, Gabe, as of this evening. So you're going to pay almost $1,000 to get in the last row here.
Huh. No, it won't be $1,000 to get in.
Oh, my friend got an offer for $1,000. So
let me see. I'll tell you the updated prices right now. $1,000 is insane. $1,000, come on. It's just a playoff game.
Some people pay $1,000 for it, so we'll see. $1,000
for the nosebleeds?
Now, here we go. $422 right now. Section 426, 422. No, the other day it was $5. It's coming down. Like, this guy, yeah. You can only get so much. I'm not saying for, like, the lower bowl you can get more. Even the whites, I guess. Whites, you know, there's some of them going. There's a thing, Mo. It's sort of like on StubHub. Just because somebody's asking something doesn't mean they're going to get it.
absolutely.
like somebody here on StubHub, like, wants two. Like this, Ken. They want $2,750. Yeah. For like one center ice ticket.
I made a big mistake on StubHub, Gabe. I bought a ticket for Bovey, and then he goes, "I told you to go to Ticketmaster." I go, "I don't have a Ticketmaster account." Ended up paying like $500 more on StubHub for that Pistons Knicks game. Problems.
What Pistons Knicks game?
On Sunday. The Knicks are at Detroit.
Game four. Yeah.
Game four. He's going.
All right. So what? You bought the tickets for him?
Yeah. I screwed up. He called me in the morning. I didn't realize the difference between Ticketmaster and StubHub, but it's like a $400, $500 difference. On Ticketmaster, it was like $900. On StubHub, it was like $1,300. Ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of different you got to look around. There's a lot of different prices for these things. But like I said, so you'll see. But then the media will put it out there. Oh, tickets are going for $2,750. It's like, nah, they're not really. Somebody's asking. That, but people like to sensationalize it, but still an expensive ticket, $422. I wish I was there, actually. It's going to be lit on Friday night. You can't top the Bell Center. You can't top the Bell Center in Montreal. Well, the Forum you could top. The Forum was better. But
yeah,
like you said, Mo, I was there against Tampa in the Stanley Cup Finals. And
that's right, yeah.
It was awkward, right? There was like 7,000 people. It was weird being at a Stanley Cup final, and I had the entire row to myself. Like, literally. I was, like, right behind the net, and I had my arms stretched out. I had, like, beers and drinks, like, all over the place. I literally and figuratively, they had us, like, I had a row, and there was a dude behind me that had a row. It was, like, it was the strangest thing ever. And it sucked, too, because the Lightning scored, like, 2 goals in the first minute of the game. All right, so, Mo, I would say enjoy the games and stuff, but you're a Canadiens hater and a Red Wing fan, so maybe next year. Thanks, Mo.
Hopefully. Take care, guys.
I know he's a Red Wing.
3-0 for the Minnesota Wild right now. Over to Vegas Golden Knights, so the Wild are rolling. And so the Lakers. The T-Wolves just can't get back in at 75-57. We'll see you on the Wicked Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.